Good morning. So we're going to continue on with our series, Practicing the Way. The last few weeks, David's been talking about being part of the family of God and how we're familified. And part of that is how we serve one another, we give one another, we struggle with one another, the ups and downs. And it's also that invitation where we go out and we invite people to come follow Jesus and be part of the family of God. Today, we're going to start the next section of this, which is called generosity, about what do we do with our money, our time, our energy, and stuff. And let me tell you, as a pastor, somebody who preaches periodically, I don't like talking about money and about giving too much, because, you know, there's always that kind of feeling when somebody goes, hey, give me your money. Hey, God says give money. And it's always, to me, when I'm out and I'm hearing it, makes me go, are you trying to manipulate me? Are you trying to convince me to give more than what God's told me to give? Are you trying to pull on my heartstrings to go, gimme, gimme, gimme? I always think of those just almost makes you want to cry commercials for animals to give, and they have that soft song, and it's trying to go, oh, I just want to give because my heart cries out for these animals. And so whenever I think of generosity and preaching about money, it just makes you go, eh, a little bit. And of course, it didn't help that David goes, you can open up generosity, and here's what I want you to preach on. The pattern of generosity in Scripture. What? I need to narrow that down a little bit. And as I was praying, I kind of landed. It's like we've been bouncing a lot in the Bible because we're talking about these big concepts. And so I'd like to actually kind of shrink it down and focus on 2 Corinthians chapter 8, a little bit in chapter 9, and maybe in Ephesians 2. You see, really like, that's it? That's what we're going to focus on, all right? So I'm going to read, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we're going to read 1 through 15, and it'll be in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 a little bit as well. So starting in verse 1, we want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. And in a severe test of affliction, their abundant joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. This, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then, by the will of God, to us. Accordingly, we urge Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. Lord, as we go to open up your word today and we focus on what does it mean for generosity and what does it mean about grace, may you prepare our hearts to open them up to what your will is, to what your word says. And any past sermons or past thoughts or life going on right now, put that aside so we can focus on you and your word, and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So really, I want to spend most of today actually not talking about money and generosity. I want to spend it talking about grace. Because let me give you the end of my sermon. Generosity is the act of grace that is the natural outpouring of God's grace on our lives. And so for us to understand how we can be generous and what does it mean for generosity, we need to really understand what is grace. And so we often talk about here when, and David does this almost all the time, so let me pull a David. When I say Holy Spirit, you say presence. Well, when I say grace, I want you to think of this, unmerited favor. So when I say grace, think unmerited favor. So I want to put a definition to it because it's important. Grace is not something you earn. It is not something that you've done ABC, you've done the equation, also now you have grace. It is unmerited. That means you've done nothing to earn it. It is given to you. And there's a few definitions of grace we want to talk about. One is common grace. Common grace is God extends benevolent favor and blessing to all people, both believers and non-believers, regardless of the spiritual standing. Every human being on earth is under common grace. If you believe in Jesus, you're under common grace. If you reject Jesus, you're still under common grace. If we didn't have common grace on this earth, we would live in a desolate wasteland. We wouldn't have any gifts or talents. We wouldn't have any breath. Because everything we have comes from God. It's, scripture tells us that Jesus holds everything together, and that by itself is an act of grace. Not because of anything we've done, but because of who God is, his love and his mercy. So that's common grace. Everybody is under common grace. Saving grace, the unmerited favor that leads to salvation, allows a person to stand in God's presence without guilt. That is what Jesus did. When he died on the cross for your sin and my sin, and when we respond by believing in him, that is saving grace. Not anything that we've done, it's by what Jesus has done. And then mercy. God, out of his loving kindness, withholds punishment that we rightfully deserve because of our sin. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. Like, if you've sinned, if you've lied, you cheated, you've done anything wrong, if you're not living in God, what God's called you, our punishment is death. But God, being merciful, goes, I'm going to withhold that punishment. That's mercy. And it's easy to confuse grace and mercy because mercy is a form of grace because it's not deserved. But it's the difference is you deserve a punishment and God says no. And I want to illustrate this. Maybe this will help. Let's pretend I'm a king. So I'm going to have Kingdom of Jimmy. And if you're my subjects and you've been invited to the Kingdom of Jimmy, I'd ask you to come on up. So if you're part of the Kingdom of Jimmy, let's come on up and let's sit right over here on this side right here. All right? So this is going to be my kingdom. Yeah. And see, I'm a gracious king. I'm a giving king. So if you can, sit on the floor as well. That'll be all right. All right. So each of you are part of my kingdom. You're part of my people, my subjects. Now, each of you have something of value, right? Can you hold that up? They each have a penny. The penny is you can use, you can invest in it, you can give it, you can buy food with it. I have given that to you, right? Did any of you do anything to earn that?
No.
No. They're part of my kingdom, so I gave them some wealth, gave them provision so that they can live. That's common grace. Other parts of common grace is we're given gifts and talents. And so I want to make sure that I have a good kingdom. So I'm going to give some gifts and talents out. So Roman, you're going to be a fisherman. You're going to catch fish and sell it. And hey, Jacob, you're going to build things. You're going to be a great builder. You want to be a construction worker? Great with your hands, making skyscrapers and buildings and church buildings. Who loves animals? Here, you're going to be a vet. You're going to take care of people's animals and make sure that the cows and the sheep. You can be a vet too. Who wants to be a doctor? Oh, you're going to save people. How about you can be an artist. You can draw magnificent things. And you know what? Also on top of this, you're like, so these are all gifts and talents. Did they do anything to earn those? No. But they were given these natural abilities as grace, unmerited favor, because each one of you have gifts and talents. And you know what? Alice, I'm gonna make you wealthy. Here you go. You're gonna have lots of money so you can share and help people. You're gonna inherit that. And so each one of us has been given these gifts and the talents. And maybe you're a great artist. Maybe you are great with building things. Maybe it's you have a great heart for people to give and give selflessly. And did I hear something behind me? Wait a second. My coins are missing. Now, I'm a gracious king. I gave them a lot of unmerited favor. They didn't deserve it, but I gave them things. But somebody stole from me. Who stole from me?
Xander.
You stole? So, here's the thing. I can't have people around me that I can't trust, that break my rules and break my laws. So, my punishment is exile. You're kicked out of the kingdom. But, you know what? I'm a merciful king. I'm not going to kick you out yet. I'm not going to kick you out. I'm going to withhold that punishment. He deserved to be kicked out because he violated my laws. He tried to do it on his own. He tried to take on his own what doesn't belong to him. He tried to do it his own way. Punishment is exile, but I'm going to withhold that. And that's mercy. He doesn't deserve it. But I'm going to do a step forward. You know what, Xander? I'm going to restore you. Somebody over there paid the price for you. And all you have to do is say thank you to them and ask for forgiveness. Will you do that? Can you say it out loud? Say, I'm sorry. Okay, this is a gift that's given to him. He's now restored to my kingdom. He can live in it without guilt. And that's saving grace. It's paid for by somebody else, by something else. And I want you to notice something. What's still in his pocket that he's guarding? The money he stole. The brokenness that he's done. Did I make him pay restitution to pay it back? No, because that punishment's been paid. A saving grace, you can't earn it. You can't pay it back. You can't make up for it. Somebody else has, and that's Jesus. You guys can go sit down. Go ahead and put the toys just right behind you. Thank you very much. So you see, there's common grace that you're giving these gifts and talents. Everyone has them. But there's mercy and there's a saving grace that goes beyond it. And Roman, you can leave that. That's fine. And by the way, those pennies are yours to keep. Hold on to those because they're not making those anymore. So don't lose them. I had to throw that one in there. So there's common grace and there's specific grace of gifts and talents. And sometimes it might feel unfair. They go, wait, that person, they just inherited money and they have a better life than me. Or that one is amazing artist and I can't even draw an eye. Like we have these different gifts and talents to be used for God's kingdom. But also we have this specific saving grace that Jesus came down and paid the price for us. Ephesians chapter 2 says this. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. See, Jesus didn't see wealth and riches and being with God as something to grasp. He humbled himself, became the form of the man. To live among us, to understand us, to pay the price for us that we may not die to our sins, but we can believe in him and live everlasting if we confess him as Lord. Why? To do good works. We are under the salvation grace of Christ to do good works. And the Macedonian church understood this, going back in 8 chapter 1. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that had been giving among the churches of Macedonia and the severe test of affliction, the abundance joy and the extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. Macedonian church, they did not have a lot of money. They were actually under strife. But the grace of God overflowed through them. The understanding that Jesus paid the price, the understanding that God has given them everything, it overflowed in great joy. For them to give, so much so that they begged to give to the missions of the saints. Not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. So the church of Macedonia, they gave first to the Lord, and that would be the tithes to the church, and then to the mission as God's will put on the heart. They were very generous with what they had. And they gave within their means and at times beyond their means. Not because they were forced and prodded and emotionally manipulated, but because the grace of God overflowed through them. And so Paul's writing this and telling Titus to do this because they want them to experience this act of grace as the church of Corinth. Because generosity is an act of grace that you bestow on other people. To continue on in verse 8, I say this not as a command, but to prove the earnestness of others, of your love is also genuine. For ye know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. And in this matter, I give my judgment. This benefits you who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also the desire to do it. So now finish doing it as well, so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have. For if your readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, and there may be fairness, as it is written. Whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. So it's by grace that Jesus came. You know, Jesus, if you really think about it, before he came to earth, he was with God the Father, the Holy Spirit, in perfect unity in heaven. And he came down to suffer. He came down to not even have a place to lay his head, to walk among us, to go and travel and to share who God the Father was and share what Jesus was about to do. And he ended up being put on a cross, nailed to it, stripped of his clothes, so that his clothes was gambled away. And he died on that cross, and he was buried. And 3 days later, he rose again to sit on the right hand of God the Father. Jesus, knowing pure wealth, and the idea of wealth is not money, but the glory of God, leaving that all behind, to be rejected, to be beaten. He didn't see the richness of God as something to grasp, but he saw something greater by following the will of God to lay his life down, to give everything for you and for me. And so when it says here, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake became poor, it's giving that in picture to them. So that you might become rich. Now, here's the thing about preaching about money that I've heard so much is like, well, if you give beyond your means, give it till it hurts and God's going to bless you and you're going to have all this extra money come to you later. I've heard that said. That's not the riches here. When scripture is talking about riches, it's about the grace of God overflowing through you. Sometimes he gives you money and stability. Sometimes it's not money and stability, but there's a grace of being sustained and content by who God is and his grace and his mercy that is among us. There's a difference in riches. In America, we think of money. The more money I have, the better I am. But it goes way beyond that. And so what's Paul doing here? Paul is comparing the Corinth church and reminding them of what Macedonia is doing. Because the church in Corinth has said, we're going to give this money. We're excited to do it. They've made a commitment. And now they're kind of wavering on it. And so Paul is reminding them, hey, the church in Macedonia, they're struggling, but they're giving because there's a joy in that. And so he wants Corinth to actually experience that joy and that grace by continuing the act of grace. But he wants to balance that. And he has a very specific point he wants to make. And you know how we know Paul has a very specific point? Because he says so in chapter 9, verse 6. He says, the point is this. So if you ever see in scripture, the point is this, you might want to pay attention because this is the heart of what they're trying to tell us. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work, as is written, He has distributed freely, He has given to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. So Paul's point is this, he wants them to give cheerfully, not under duty and obligation. Now hold on, Paul is writing them say, hey, you made this commitment, you better pay up. But he's also saying, hey, this isn't an obligation. I want you to understand the grace of God, that it naturally overflows and you find enjoyment in that by what God has put on the hearts to give, by what God has laid it on them and convinced them to do. So we want to balance this out a bit when we think about our generosity. Do you understand grace? Because that's the first thing. And then do you have a cheerful heart in giving it? Because growing up the church, there's many times I've heard, all right, so you give to the Lord, you give 10%. Boom. I'm good. All right, but it also says tithes and offerings. So if I give 15%, I'm at 25%. Now I've fulfilled my obligation of generosity. I'm now good. And it's a transactional. I'm trying to make sure that I'm within the bounds of exactly what God's called me to do based on what other people have said. And what Paul is doing here is like, wait. No. It's not about the equation. It's about the heart and about grace outflowing. And Jesus actually makes this clear when he calls out the Pharisees when they're going off on something. And he goes, you guys give of 10% tithe off your dill and spices. That's how much you follow the little legalistic idea of it. But you forget the better things. You forget the finer things. And so where does that leave us? What is the equation? And I don't want to give you an equation. It says give to the Lord and then give to others. As an outflow of the grace of God and what God's put on your hearts. And so we have a lot of opportunities right now. It's that time of year that it's just like, gimme, gimme, gimme. One opportunity to give, act of generosity after another. And these are great things. Our church does an amazing job with it. Operation Christmas Child, they took the boxes away that was right here that I was going to point to. We packed those boxes so that others can experience the grace of Jesus Christ and have a gift to open up and hear the gospel, which is beautiful and amazing. We had a candy drive where we had 600-700 people come through. We gave candy. We gave almost 100 gospels out of Gospel of Mark to people. And you guys gave to that. We're now giving for food to help those that are hungry and that are hoarding right now. And so we're asking to give to that. We're now, hey, Dominican Republic, they're doing missions and they're bringing people in and the vehicles are put. Hey, if you feel on your heart, God's leading you to give. And sometimes it feels like we're just like, give. And sometimes there can well up a, oh, I got to give again. I don't want to give again. It's just, and it can well up a bitterness inside because you're like, if I don't give, then it's not going to happen. If it doesn't happen, then we've failed. And then we're not trusting God's sovereignty. Let me put it this way. My kids go to school. I love that they go to school. We have a lot of funding that goes to school. The thing I hate most is when you get the backpacks, the school supplies, and you get the extra school supplies for the classroom, and then it's like 2 weeks later, like, oh, hey, here's a fundraiser. Go spend some more money. And I'll be honest, in my heart, I have an extreme vitriol against school fundraisers because they don't get much money out of it, and it's just like you're bleeding me dry here. And so you know what? Confession, I refuse to buy anything from those because my heart's not there. So if you're hearing the give here, do this, do that, and you're like, I got to do it because I'm obligated to do it because I'm compulsed to do it, and it's not because of the grace of God that you feel like I should do this, stop. Don't give. Just don't. Stop. Pause. I'm giving you permission. If your heart's going, oh, I don't want to give again, it's something else to give to you, don't. Stop. Pause. Reflect on the grace of God. And ask the Holy Spirit, why am I struggling to give to this thing, to this direction? Because we can't do it all. You're not called to do it all. The Macedonian church wasn't called do it all. They said give within the means. At times they did go beyond. And what Paul is saying, not under compulsion, because maybe you're supposed to give to one area or give to something else, and that's okay. You don't have to do everything. Because generosity, mercy, and grace, let me tell you a little secret, and I've been debating about saying this or not, but sometimes mercy, generosity, and grace isn't fair in the sense of fairness that we understand as fairness in America. And so, like with my kids, if I got a couple bucks in my pocket, I go get a candy bar and I give it to one of my kids, I show them grace. They didn't deserve it. I show them unmerited favor. I give it to one. You know what immediately people say? What about the other two? Well, I can only be generous. I only got 10 extra bucks. I can only give to this thing, but I can't give it to that thing. And now, you know what? I can't give to both, so I'm not going to give at all. Yeah. I can't do it all. You're right. But what has God laid on your heart to give towards? And so maybe you're sitting here and you're on the opposite end going, I really don't have much, or I got these other things that I'm planning on. But I kind of feel like, you know, this Dominican Republic and they need a vehicle. And, you know, it might hurt, but I should probably give some money to that. You know what? You should. Do it. Give it. Because God's pulling your heart that direction. Because here's the reality about generosity. Is that generosity is the natural outpouring of grace in our lives. And that in itself is an act of grace. And when Paul's talking in 2 Corinthians, and he says, in fairness, when you got abundance, give to those without, so that when they have abundance, they can give to you. Maybe you're in a different boat here today, and you're down on your luck, and everything seems like it's gone wrong, and you can barely get food on the table. And your pride says, I got to figure out this on my own. You know what you're doing when you do that? I'm guilty of that, by the way. I've done that so many times. You're robbing the opportunity of somebody else to perform an act of grace and be generous to you. Because when we're down, we should be lifted up because we're a family. We're one body. We're one church. We're to serve one another. Our family in the Dominican Republic, they got a vehicle issue, a major one. We can help lift them up based on what God's put on our hearts to give. First to the Lord, then to the mission as the will of God. And so there's a few things that the worship team comes forward I want you to reflect on. First is, why do you give? Let me be honest, God doesn't need your money. God doesn't need your time. God doesn't need your energy. God doesn't need your stuff. But he is giving it all to us that we may use it as acts of grace to be generous to others. He desires you to do that with a willingness and a cheerfulness so that as you sow it, as you give it, God can bless you through that and lift you up even more. The Macedonian church, they gave out of nothing. But they were filled more and more with the grace of God. So, are you filled with the grace of God? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you recognize that everything you have is from Him and for Him? And that you are here to do good works, that He's prepared ahead a time for you? Lastly, if God's laid on your heart to give within your means, give within your means. If God says stretch a little bit, stretch a little bit. But what he doesn't say is to burden yourself. Because I've heard people do this. And so I want to give a little caution. God says give. Doesn't mean you go mortgage your house to give. Doesn't mean you go credit cards to give. You give with what God's given you. And sometimes that means you might stretch a little bit, make the meal go a little bit longer. Or maybe it's like, you know what? I need to take a step back. I've been giving, giving, giving. And I am so overwhelmed by giving. I need to pause and reflect on the grace of God. And be reminded that everything I have is from Him and for Him. And let the Holy Spirit guide what you give. I'm not going to say open up your wallets and just pour it all out in the offering plate today. I'm asking you, who are part of the family of God, to reflect on the grace of God. And let that natural outpouring pour out to the church, to the mission, to your neighbors, to your coworkers. If you know somebody that needs some help, go help them. If you know somebody that, they're struggling with food, go, hey, let's go grab a bite together Let's go eat together. We just took the youth out to help clean up some trees. Energy, generosity. Trail life's been awesomely blessed. God's worked an amazing way. We now have a trailer, which I'm super pumped about. But it's people in the church and around that's been generous to give because God put on the hearts to give that. And one guy went, you gave how much? Really? Because his heart was there. Not because he was even asked. He wanted to. Because he wanted to bless and be generous. And so let us as a church and as a family be generous as the natural outpouring of the grace of God, of his salvation that he's so freely given to us. Heavenly Father, it's one of those sermons where I don't like asking about money and talking about money, but I love talking about your grace. And I need your grace, Lord. I need your forgiveness. May you, your Holy Spirit, guide us as we pray about giving, about living generous lives, and be open-handed with our time, our energy, our money, and our stuff, and our talents that you've given us at all. Help us reflect on your grace. And if anyone here doesn't know your saving grace, may your Holy Spirit walk in their hearts to believe in you and follow you and trust in you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.